Farm, Ms. Marin.
May it please the Court, my name is Donna Marin, and I represent the appellants John Lummis and his ex-wife, Cynthia Macbeth. This appeal presents two issues. Did the trial court correctly apply Indiana law on the tort of bad faith by an insurance company? The second is, did the district court correctly apply the summary judgment standard to the facts of this case and to the evidence presented to the court? And the answer to these questions is both no. On the tort of bad faith, the Indiana Supreme Court recently clarified Indiana law on what constitutes a breach of an insurance company's duties of good faith and fair dealing to their policyholders. Now, the tort was first recognized by our Supreme Court in 1993 in the Erie v. Hickman decision. And the court, while not specifically defining the confines of the tort of bad faith, indicated that there's a number of ways that a policyholder can prove that it, is in essence, has been treated unfairly by its insurance company. An unfounded refusal to pay policy proceeds, an unfounded delay in the payment of policy proceeds, deception of the insured, or pressing an unfair advantage against the policyholder to put the policyholder in a situation where it has virtually no choice but to accept an unreasonably low settlement offer. We would submit that we presented evidence, far more than a scintilla of evidence, that all four of these categories of difficult, unreasonable conduct by State Farm was presented to the district court.
It was clearly a case of arson by the girlfriend, and he's a fireman. So the logical inference is that he, you know, he didn't actually light the match, but light the fire, but that he, you know, arranged the for the arson.
Well, Indiana law is clear that a good faith dispute does not preclude a bad faith claim as a matter of law. And the district court's opinion and judgment was that any reasonable explanation of a denial of coverage would preclude a bad faith claim as a matter of law. That's just simply not what the Indiana appellate courts find. And, in fact, in the Magwerks decision, which was issued...
Well, what would be the example of a factual dispute where your contention, if believed by a jury, would indicate bad faith?
The fact that, you mean in the context of this particular case?
Yeah.
The State Farm, from the very beginning of this case, John Lummis said that he didn't understand that insurance was in effect. He didn't believe insurance was in effect. On a couple of hours after the fire, when he was inspecting the wreckage, his ex-wife handed him the phone, her cell phone, and said, "You need to call and report this claim." And John said, "What's the point? There's no insurance."
But the question isn't whether the jury would believe that that's what Mr. Lummis thought. The question is whether the jury would think that State Farm believed Mr. Lummis, or whether State Farm, looking at all these other circumstances that are reviewed in the district court's opinion, was it the opinion that Mr. Lummis wasn't being candid?
Well, our position is not that we're entitled to judgment on bad faith.
No, but where's the issue about State Farm's state of mind? You're assuming that Mr. Lummis's testimony, if believed by the jury, would have told the jury something about State Farm's state of mind as opposed to Mr. Lummis's position. I don't see anything. You know, there's no memo from State Farm that, you know, that indicates, you know, gee, maybe Mr. Lummis really thought he didn't have cover. I mean, I don't see anything from State Farm.
State Farm categorically just decided that Lummis was lying,
right,
that Beth Howe was lying.
And so it's his state of mind. State Farm's state of mind. And just because Mr. Lummis said some things to State Farm that were favorable to his position doesn't take me the next step to say what evidence is there that State Farm itself was behaving in some unfounded way or deceptive way or exercising unfair advantage or all those other things?
The fact that State Farm did not, the crux of State Farm's case ended up being a renewal notice that State Farm claims it sent to John Lummis, mm-hmm, prior to the time of the fire. State Farm didn't produce this statement, which is actually a very ambiguous piece of paper because it indicates that premiums were being paid by the mortgagee, and Mr. Lummis wasn't making mortgage payments.
I didn't understand you. If he didn't, if they didn't produce it, how do you know what it says?
They produced it in court, attached to an affidavit.
Why did they produce it?
Well, I apologize. I didn't finish my sentence. They didn't actually produce it until they filed their reply brief.
Are you suggesting it's fabricated or something?
I'm suggesting that it's very comparable to the fact pattern in the MagWorks case, which is deny and then develop the facts as the case proceeds.
I don't understand how they develop the facts later. The renewal notice would have been a fabrication if it was created after the litigation, right?
It wasn't a fabrication of a document, but
they
didn't bring this document up or discuss its importance or its implications until the very last minute.
What would that have to do with bad faith? You're saying they had a piece of favorable evidence for themselves, which they misplaced or something, failed to produce as at the earliest opportunity. How would that suggest bad faith?
Because under Erie v. Hickman,
it's them. Why would they have delayed? What was their motive to delay producing that document, which favors them?
The Indiana case law is...
What was their motive, I'm asking
their
you?
Their motive was that they were scrambling to justify a denial of a claim made hastily and without a proper investigation. Because they never even asked Lummis if he had gotten that piece of paper, or if he had gotten that piece of paper, would it have actually informed him that insurance was in effect? They never asked him those questions. They just put that paper forward. It was accepted by the district court as the dispositive piece of evidence confirming motive, which is a disputed issue that the jury never got to evaluate in the context of bad faith. Clearly, they did evaluate it in the context of coverage and ruled in favor of John Lummis.
Okay.
One more point is that we designated expert evidence a professor in the insurance and risk management program at Indiana State University who opined that State Farm's cherry-picking of the facts was a delay tactic, caused the policyholder to put the policyholder in a position where financially he had really no alternative but to accept a low-ball settlement offer.
And he didn't accept the settlement offer.
He didn't.
Right.
And
why do you say he was put in a position where he had to accept
He managed to find lawyers who were willing to take this case to trial through almost 3 years of litigation and three days of a jury trial on a $50,000 fire claim.
What did State Farm offered by way of settlement?
Am I allowed to disclose that?
Sure.
They offered to give the fire to the burned wreckage of the house back to Lummis to put it back in his name. However, it was it had a tax lien on it, so it was about a $10,000 encumbrance on it. So that was what was offered.
Okay. Well, thank you, Ms. Merriam.
Thank you,
Mr. Mulvaney.
May it please the court, Carl Mulvaney for State Farm Insurance. Judge Hamilton got it right. He correctly granted summary judgment on this bad faith claim. Because there was an incendiary fire and a motive established, State Farm was entitled to rely upon circumstantial evidence for its arson defense. The question here is whether a reasonable juror could find, by clear and convincing evidence, that State Farm knew it had no rational, principled basis for inferring Lummis procured the fire and accordingly denied the claim. Erie makes it clear that State Farm can make a mistake and be wrong in its coverage denial. There's been a reference here that this case covered all aspects of the various components of what constitutes bad faith in Erie. That's not the case. This is a coverage denial case only. That's all that we have in this case. Lummis, the procurement issue, I think, is pretty compelling when you look at the evidence from what State Farm knew. Lummis was in dire financial condition. The fire was incendiary. The non-arson causes were all eliminated. The location of the mattress and the box springs and the clothes, which constituted a torch in the middle of the basement, and the use of an unusual accelerant gave State Farm every reason to believe that someone with knowledge of how to get a fire started.
When did they find out about that kerosene gasoline mixture then?
They found out about it
how long after the fire?
It was submitted to AK Laboratories. It was probably a month or two afterwards, Your Honor. They came back with the kerosene can that had the trace elements of kerosene and gasoline mixture. The ATF agent indicated to the State Farm representative, Amy Macaluso, that combination was something that a layperson probably wouldn't know anything about. It was a combination that would lead to maximum damage. The nature of the fire itself, we believe, demonstrates the idea that they knew that there was insurance in place, or at least they had a pretty good idea.
Until determination was made, they were just defending on a reservation of rights?
They were proceeding on a reservation of rights, but
they had already made some payments too to Mr. Lummis, right?
Absolutely, Your Honor. They made the advanced living expense payments. They took care of the payoff to the mortgage company. There was a substantial amount of money paid, and even the expert that was referred to from Indiana State University said that State Farm was well within its rights and reasonable to give to conduct a thorough investigation in this case, and even stated that it was possible that Lummis directed Ms. Howe to set the fire. So we believe that on their own evidence, they've demonstrated State Farm is reasonable in what they did, that we had a rational, principled basis. And we respectfully disagree with the discussion of the MagWorks case. MagWorks, if you look at it, I think it's around page 576, it indicates that in a coverage denial, that the rule still stands on the clear and convincing standard, and that the insurance company, as Erie's indicated, is not going to be left out there, subject to a claim for bad faith when they make a coverage denial the way that they did in this case based upon solid evidence. Gooch is very different. Gooch is a case where the insurance company deliberately refused, as Judge Hamilton rightly found, deliberately refused to go out and look at evidence where the insurance company was specifically told, hey, if you go look at this, you're likely to find that the insurer is correct. That creates a question of fact. MagWorks is a similar kind of a situation. The insurance company initially goes along, doesn't reserve its rights, doesn't make any statements, and says, oh, there's coverage. They say coverage, or they indicate that there's a collapse in all their correspondence. Then they switch and they say, oh, we've got a different idea. There's not a collapse as defined in the dictionary. We're going to deny coverage based upon our definition of collapse. The problem was is that the Indiana Supreme Court looked at that and said, the evidence shows that the darn roof collapsed. We're not going to let you come up and say, oh, we denied it. We denied this coverage in good faith. For all these reasons, we would ask that the court affirm Judge Hamilton and state that State Farm is entitled to the summary judgment and that the standard is clear and convincing evidence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. All right, your time expired, but we'll give you another minute if you'd like.
Thank you. Just a couple of points. Our bad faith claim is more than just a grievance about the denial of a claim. It's a grievance about the way the claim was handled. The fact that this insurance company forced this particular policyholder in the context of these specific facts to endure 3 years of litigation, almost 3 years of litigation, and a jury trial to recover on a modest-sized property damage claim, a claim that destroyed all his personal property, including irreplaceable items.
Why would State Farm go to such efforts in such a small case if it didn't really believe that Lummis was responsible for the fire?
Well, it's no secret amongst the plaintiffs' bars in various jurisdictions that several insurance companies, State Farm among them, have a scorched earth policy of litigating virtually every claim, and that does have the practical effect of disincentivizing.
They never pay people's.
Well, I overstepped there, but litigating many claims that other insurance companies would settle. That's a practice that was actually specifically recognized in the Campbell case that went up to the United States Supreme Court that was cited in the materials. With respect to the gasoline-kerosene mixture, there was no evidence that John Lummis had any cause and origin training or any special expertise. He was a volunteer firefighter, most of which involved...
What's your theory of the fire? That she thought about it all, the girlfriend all by herself?
It was pretty evident that that's what the jury concluded, that that the ex-girlfriend was a pretty unstable person who was unhappy about losing her free place of where she and her children had been living.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay.